Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How many of you find it hard to believe it's the 1st of September? Anyone? No kidding, eh? Thank you. Isn't it absolutely amazing? Summer is almost over, and every year it whizzes by. It seems quicker and quicker, and you wonder where it went. M. Allen Warren, in today's presentation, is sending out the 72. And I want to thank you for coming out on this long weekend. Often people have plans and are busy. Today, you will look at the big picture and see how some of the elements of Luke chapter 10 and 11 fit together in the Gospel of Luke. And we'll also go over some welcoming tips so all of us can be like the 72 next week with the joint welcome back barbecue with the Scouts. Now this morning, I want you to turn to your neighbor, introduce yourself, try and find someone maybe you usually don't talk to, and tell them about something you enjoyed this summer, okay? Something you enjoyed this summer, or at least think about it. Go. Please stop. You obviously had lots of fun this summer because there was lots of chatting going on, and feel free to continue with lemonade on the lawn. Now, does anyone want to call out in a word or two what they enjoyed this summer? The French Open. Thank you. Anything else? Family. Thank you. Anybody else? New great-grandson. Awesome. Thank you. Anybody else? The French Open with grandchildren. Thank you. Over here?
Your turn.
What?
Family reunion.
Family reunion. Awesome. Wonderful. I didn't tell you a story because I've already told you that I love going through the mountains this summer. And believe it or not, another thing I actually enjoy is the vacation Bible camp. It's always lots of fun. Now, how many of you have ever looked through binoculars trying to find something, say a bird in a tree? And then you've had to lower your binoculars, get some reference points, you know, to lead you to the bird in the tree, then you put them back on and oh yeah, there's that there, and then you find the bird. Has that ever happened to any of you? Wonderful, thank you. I don't feel so bad. You need to do the same with Scripture. When you read the Bible today, it's all divided up into little sections. Jesus sends out the 72, the seven helpers. Then there's chapters and verses to make it easy to find familiar passages. But you need to remember that the original books, notice plural, the Bible isn't one book, but many different books many different authors, many different points of view, understandings of God and who Jesus was. Okay, there isn't just one point of view in the Bible. There were no headings, there were no chapters, there were no verses, there weren't even punctuation marks in the original writings. It was just one long run-on sentence. And I thought I was the master of them. A long, continuous story with one piece fitting into the other. And so today we're going to connect some of those pieces of the story in Luke, remembering Luke is also the author of Acts. It's kind of like a trilogy today. It's just that Luke stopped after two. Question for you this morning. Who do you think are the heavy hitters in the gospel stories? Who are the heavy hitters? What? Paul. Thank you. Paul. Yes, Paul. Thank you. Any other heavy hitters? Peter. Thank you. Any other heavy hitters? John. Thank you. Maybe Luke. I'm surprised nobody mentioned Jesus, you know, one of the heavy hitters in the gospel stories. What? That's a given. That's a given. Thank you. Absolutely. Also, Mary and Martha, the 12 disciples and those who hung out with Jesus, kind of the groupies, are the heavy hitters. And if you go back to the beginning of chapter 9 in Luke's gospel, that's who Jesus sends out. He sends out the 12 disciples, the heavy hitters, to preach the good news of the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Well, the case should be closed, right? It's all done. It's over. Sorry, wrong answer. Here we are, no more than a chapter later, the beginning of chapter 10, and Jesus sends out the 72. Some manuscripts say 70. Did you notice what they were called? The Good News Bible says men. You know, of course, that male bias we see in the scripture constantly. But the New Revised Standard Version, okay, because Greek had a male pronoun, a feminine pronoun, and a neutral pronoun. So whenever neutral pronouns get translated in the Bible, because English doesn't have one, okay, they're often translated as male. The New Revised Standard says others, men and women who were sent out. Notice they don't have any special titles. They're not called apostles. They're not called disciples. They're just ordinary folks. So I hate to tell you, this passage has some bad news for you this morning. In the church circles, who are usually the heavy hitters today? How about the ministers, you know, the paid accountable staff? You know, we've gone to Bible college, theological college, those who stand at the front. Do the message each week, or some churches have people who do the, you know, the Christian education, outreach. You know, those are the heavy hitters. Well, in chapter 72 are the simple, everyday folks who are described as others. Now, I take that to mean the everyday folks are those of you who come to church each week and fill in the pews. So you can't slough off this job in Luke's gospel to the superstars. Jesus is calling each of us to this task. There's a large harvest, but few workers to gather it in. Pray to the owner of the harvest that he will send out workers into the fields to gather the harvest. Now, when good old United Church folks see this passage, we think of evangelism with a capital E, and we shiver and shake. Now, may I suggest something a little different? We are all called to offer peace to people. In this passage, they're sent out to offer peace to the household to which you go. To be a caring presence where people can lay down their burdens, have a breather, know someone cares about them, a safe space to share their story, or simply just talk about other things. To give them the strength to then pick their burdens back up again with the knowledge that someone cares and that someone is you. Wow, what a task. A great task. Letting others know someone cares. What I find interesting about this call of the 72 is what comes after. It's the parable of the Good Samaritan. Do you want to know who you're supposed to be nice to and caring to on your block, in the office? Everyone. Especially those who have been left by the side of the road, the bruised and broken by life and circumstances. You're sent out to them. So you have all these people being sent out, staying in people's homes, and it says being told to be humble and eat what is put before you. I hope they're date squares. Sorry. I don't know if you have favorites, but you know. But you're not to ask. Eat what is put before you. Now, besides having people, you know, to share the good news and go out, you now have a group of people who have to make the meals and get the table ready to look after them in their homes. Any idea what comes after the Good Samaritan story? How about the Mary and Martha story we read last week that's wrestling with this same problem? Who does the work in the kitchen? And who sits at the feet of Jesus? As the church began to grow, this tension is seen in Acts chapter 6. The tension between doing the work of the church, whether it's the counting and distribution of funds, looking after the widows, providing room and board for the traveling preacher, or the one who's given the task to go out and share the stories of Jesus, teaching people the kingdom of God, what it looks like in relation to how we treat one another and how we care for one another by the side of the road, both individually and collectively as a society. Wow. It's no wonder that after the Mary and Martha story is, Lord, teach us to pray. They're sent out. The Good Samaritan story tells who they're to go out to, everyone, especially those at the side of the road. Then the Mary and Martha story reminds us that some are sitting at the feet of Jesus, some are doing the tasks. And you know what comes next? Lord, teach us to pray. At the beginning of the 11th chapter. Remember, there's no chapters, there's no verses, there's no headings. These stories just flow from one into the other, reflecting the reality and the needs of the early church community. When Luke or any gospel writer put their gospel together, they were thinking of the needs of the community they were addressing. Teach us how to stay grounded in you and your word as we busy ourselves going out to live the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Are you tired yet with all those tasks? By the way, did I mention to you about needing people to set up tables and chairs, you know, for the luncheon next week out on the lawn? You know?
And putting them away.
Thank you. That was the problem at the One Burlington Festival. Everybody showed up to set up, and then everybody ran home when it was over, and there was few people to put them away. Great reminder. Do you catch the tension reflected in these progression of scriptures that start with the sending out of the 72, all of us, and Lord, teach us to pray. Now back to the 72 and the welcome back barbecue. Do you know what is interesting about our passage today? When the ordinary folks go out proclaiming peace and hospitality, being hospitable to others, they come back filled with joy, and Jesus says, "I saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven." What do you think the odds are that Jesus said the same thing to the superstars when they came back in Luke chapter 9? How many of you think Jesus said the same thing to them? You know, put your hand up for the yes votes. 1, 2, thank you. Okay, put your hand up for the no votes. 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, thank you. Thanks for playing. There's a lot of you still sitting on the fence there. You know, you're thinking about it. The no's actually have it. Jesus did not say that to the superstars when they came back. Only you have the opportunity and the power to change the relationships and the attitudes on your street, your apartment building, your places of work, this community, and the world. I'm using Cameron Trimble's almost daily devotion from the Center of Progressive Renewal. This was Monday's devotion. Okay, so it was this week. She wrote, "The term microaggression was first used in the 1970s to mean a comment or action subtly and often unconsciously or unintentionally expressed a prejudicial attitude towards the member of a minority group, often a racial minority. Our president, remember Cameron's American, has perfected the art and sadly unleashed a movement of others who feel emboldened to act in demeaning and harmful ways to others." I now find myself wondering if the rest of us are unconsciously, or hopefully consciously, acting as an antidote to that trend. I, remember it's Cameron, spent this past week in New York, a city many would describe as aggressive in pace and practice. But this trip, I was deeply touched and overwhelmed by the countless acts of kindness I witnessed. The woman on the train who gave $5 to the teenager who said he was hungry. The man who helped an elderly woman push her cart across an intersection. I imagine it maybe even being a homeless people. They often have carts. The police officer who held the hand of a little boy in the park separated from his mother. The Uber driver who was delayed in picking me up because his last ride was a blind man who needed help up the stairs in his apartment. Every time I turned around, I witnessed people being kind to each other. Could it be that some of us, more than we think, are becoming micro-loving? Is that what happens to decent human beings who reject what we see from our president and hear on the news? If so, I have hope for our nation and our world. It was in the face of the worst persecution that Jesus showed the most compassion. Maybe that is happening to us too. A great story that underlines the idea of the 72 others taking up the task of making a difference by spreading the word of peace that Jesus instructed them to do. The harvest is ready, but the workers are few. Now, in relation to this task, I have homework for you this week. First, I want you to pray. Remember, Lord, teach us to pray that the Spirit be present with you next week to say hello to some families at the Welcome Back Barbecue. You know, some of the scouting families you don't know. Consider it your field, your harvest next Sunday. Don't know what to say? It's easy. Simply go up to a group and ask them if you can join them for lunch. If they say yes, you're in. If not, and I can't imagine anyone saying not, just simply wipe the dust off your feet, as Jesus said, you know, and go on to the next group. If you are sitting at a table, okay, remember to leave empty chairs for others to join in another group. And if church people join in, maybe you can suggest, would you mind, I'm trying to leave those open to invite some scout families to sit with us. Now, wondering what to say after you introduce yourself, maybe you can ask the question I asked earlier. Did you do something fun this summer? What was it? And then you can share with them the fun thing you did or something you enjoyed this summer. If there's younger ones, ask them what they like about Cubs, Scouts, Beavers. And then maybe you can share things your children enjoyed about Cubs, Scouts, Beavers, or whatever activities they were a part of. It's a great way to start building bridges and getting to know our neighbors. Now, there won't be enough chairs for everyone, so you may have to, like at the church picnic, stand with your plate and just chat as you do that. The role of hospitality in mission cannot be overstated. The hospitality of the 72 is shown in their mission of peace that is done through a grateful presence, you know, eat what is set before you, say thanks, and conversation. Remember those two things, a grateful presence and conversation. Can you say those with me, please? A grateful presence and conversation. Thank you. And it's something we can do not just next week, but next week and in our lives. Next Sunday, we have a great opportunity to be a good host. Remember this in prayer this coming week is a way of preparing our hearts and minds to do so. Lord, teach us to pray. Help us to be your messengers of peace. Thanks be to God. Amen.